passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen.
Good evening, everybody. My name's Michael, and it's great to see you here this evening. Now, I don't know what kind of week you've had, but I must confess, Thursday evening, I went to continue with my preparations for tonight, and the laptop had died. You can imagine the heartache, but praise the Lord for neighbours who are computer engineers, because he managed to save it. What a gentleman he was. So tonight, we are continuing our series on what we love about Jesus. And I hope that through this series, you have continued to be encouraged and enthusiastic about Jesus Christ. That you have been able to envisage and imply those teachings of Jesus into your everyday life. Tonight is no exception. This story we've probably heard many times, and we've probably heard it a lot in our Sunday school days. The story of a small man named Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, who climbed a tree to see Jesus and ended up going for tea together. Well, before we get into this Bible story, I'd really like you to just listen closely as I ask Sheila to come and just share that story, but in a very different way.
Follow it. Oh, that light is a bit bright. I'm going to just turn this. Okay. Oh, just like that. Ooh. That's a bit clever. Right. It's a very interesting way of telling the story. I wish I could say I had written this, but I didn't. He was in his early 40s when the voice started. Looking in the mirror one morning, he was beginning to question life, an inner whisper becoming louder, saying, "There's more to life." 11:10 a.m., shine right shoe on hallway carpet, head towards lift. It was a small town, and he was a larger-than-life little guy. Everyone knew Zach. He made money through property and loans, maybe a shark. He had money, but his earnings didn't match his yearnings. 11:13 a.m. Press button. Satisfying ping. Business travel and leisure time had become unwanted periods to ponder. He had the pounds, but what was the purpose? What had he done that really counted? Who knew him beyond the externals? He checked his Rolex Yachtmaster, which kept perfect time. You could say what you would about Zach. People said many things, some of which were untrue. But you could never say he was late. Exactly on time, punctuality instilled in him by his mother, 11:14 a.m. Step into the reception area. The hotel was his. The luxury carpets, his. Onyx statues, his. Marble busts, his. The staff, his. The staff smiled at him, though he knew they complained about wages, and he had sacked a few old-timers. But what was a man to do in hard times? 11:15 a.m. He made it into his limo, but still he pondered. What have I made? There's more. He was in good time to reach his race course. His horse was running at 11:30 a.m. to win money in a rigged race, as he owned the officials. 11:17 a.m., the car stopped. 11:19 a.m., car still stationary. What's going on? They were stuck in the middle of a vast crowd that overflowed onto the road. 11:22 a.m., get out and see what the hold-up is, he shouted to his driver. 11:25 a.m., this was intolerable in his town. What's the hold-up? No, he would not permit the thought. He would not be late. The thought was intolerable. He had been snubbed by the religious because of how he'd made his wealth. He could live with that. He had seen those he evicted out of their, his houses. Spit at him in the street. He could live with that. His family didn't like him. His wife left him, calling him greedy and liar. He could live with that. What he couldn't and wouldn't live with was being late. Decision made. He pulled the catch back. It was sweltering outside. He hated crowds. He spent his life avoiding them. The name-calling started early in life, bullying because of his short stature. Finally, a shiny size 4 shoe stepped out, metal segs giving an extra inch, always making a sharp clicking sound, unusually distinctive over a soundless crowd. Hey, what's going on? What's the hold-up? He said. Hundreds of eyes responded, stripping him of power. There was a voice on the warm breeze. What was everyone trying to hear? What was that voice? Maybe snatches of a tantalizing promise. I have come that you might have life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He needed to see the source. It didn't matter he was late now. The power in those words from that voice spoke to the other voice within him. He started to picture himself as a small flower crowded out by weeds. He had to see. The voice he heard and the voice within started to speak in tune. Truly, I say to you, unless, man, he cannot, the kingdom of God. What? Unless a man what? There was only one thing left to do. He had to see the face behind the voice. He climbed on top of his limousine. No matter his suit was creased and metal segs scratched the roof, he looked to the front of the car. His eyes met the face of the voice. This guy isn't much taller than me. Work clothes, dressed like the workman in his factory. Ordinary. No way. Authority, it originates from him. Power like a president, an aura around him, a fragrance no perfume can reproduce. Purity, like seeing a young bride on her wedding day. We lock eyes. I want to pull mine away, but can't. For the first time in my life, it stops. Time. Time stops. Time doesn't seem to exist around this man, like he carries eternity with him. Zacchaeus! He knows me. My name. About me. He's looking at me like he knows it all. Every shady deal. Every bribe. Everyone I ever hurt to gain everything I am. The voice inside me saying, Zacchaeus, you lying, cheating, selfish thief. You don't deserve to be here. It is what I say to myself as I lay alone in bed or when I'm lying to someone. Everyone in the crowd knows the truth. I am a real sinner. It's then I realise that it's not his voice. He is silent, just smiling. The man opens his mouth, smiling more broadly. I don't have a watch. What time is it? Zacchaeus doesn't look at his watch. His internal clock is accurate. 11:45 a.m. You mean time for a cup of tea? I'm coming to your place.
Thank you very much, Sheila. I hope that really spoke to you, because it's very powerful words there. Oh, thank you. Sorry. Now, that retelling is quite different to the Bible verse we've heard from Julie. But I absolutely love that version of Zacchaeus. It really gives a distinctive edge to the story. It's a summary of the full version written by an author, Anthony Delaney, in his book titled Diamond Geezers. And I would encourage you to read it. The Bible verse, you know, doesn't really give much away to the real man that Zacchaeus is. Maybe it's meant to be like that, so we can envisage the type of person he was. Though that retelling, Sheila said, isn't too far from reality. As I'm sure there are many people who are living today are stuck in that monotonous way of life. I believe this retelling helps us just to open our imaginations to the kind of life Zacchaeus may have been living, the kind of mental struggles and thoughts that he may have been going through up until that point when he met Jesus face to face. What I love about this story is that when Jesus and Zacchaeus meet, we get a real clear message of simplicity to it. But behind that meeting, there is a powerful reason for it. If we look at the interaction with Jesus and Zacchaeus, there's no great miracle. No one is brought back to life. No one healed of a sickness. And no one has had a demon cast out. There is just a simple meeting of a man, Zacchaeus, and the Son of God, Jesus. However, in that interaction is something quite amazing. There's an acceptance of a sinner by the Saviour. A life-changing moment occurs. An underlining sharing of the good news. Tonight I want to challenge you. Are you as accepting as sinners outside these four walls as Jesus was with Zacchaeus? In that acceptance, are we prepared to meet people in the moment of their life change? And as disciples, reflect that good news of Jesus Christ? Before we go any further with this story of Zacchaeus, I feel it's important that we just go back a few verses to put Zacchaeus in context. In Luke 18:18-27, Jesus meets with this rich ruler, and Jesus is asked how to inherit eternal life. Jesus answers, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And come and follow me. As Jesus watches the back of the rich man walk away sorrowfully, Jesus says these words, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And then those who had heard this asked, who can be saved? And Jesus said this, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Now, this story of the rich ruler and Zacchaeus are right next to each other in the Bible. And in each encounter, there are similarities. Both men, like everyone, have, I believe, that inner desire to connect with God. In Ecclesiastes 3:10, it tells us that God has set eternity in our hearts. And secondly, both men demonstrate that first step to new life by seeking Jesus. The big difference, though, comes in their response. Because with the rich ruler, he decided to walk away. It seems he's thrown in the towel. He ignored that inner desire to connect. However, for Zacchaeus, he demonstrated what is possible with God. Like we heard in that retelling, Zacchaeus could not ignore the voice of Jesus. He devoted precious time and energy to get closer to Jesus. I mean, he even climbed a tree. And that's not that easy, is it? Zacchaeus opened up and listened to that desire in his heart to connect with God. Whether we've been a Christian for 5 minutes or for 50 years, do we strive as determined to see and hear Jesus? We need to continually seek and devote our time and energy to get closer to Jesus Christ. We live in a world where money, television, social media, families are constantly knocking on the door of our attention. And there is nothing wrong with these things. But it's so easy to become distracted by them. And they end up consuming us, stopping us from growing in Christ and living abundantly. Are you sitting here this evening wanting to make a powerful change or wanting to go deeper in your relationship with Christ? Recently, I made the difficult decision to deactivate Facebook. And I also changed from a smartphone to just a call and text phone, helping me to cut out those distractions. Sometimes we need to listen to the God voice in us and make decisions we know we don't want to. I'm sure Zacchaeus probably didn't really want to climb a tree, but he did. However, we know it will only strengthen our walk with Christ. The action we need to make is simple. Put Christ in priority number one. And out of that, change will come. I wonder, are there any trees that we need to climb to seek Jesus more? To get a better view? To see and hear him more clearly? That's another reason why I love Jesus. He just wants to simply see us to seek him. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I'm gripped by this story because this special meeting between Jesus and Zacchaeus is just screaming out an overwhelming sense of acceptance. Jesus, in his interactions, is giving Zacchaeus this feeling of, it is okay. Jesus, in that moment when they lock eyes, can see straight into Zacchaeus' heart and can no doubt see the potential and the righteousness that resides there. What makes this stand out more firstly is, as the Bible tells us, Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, someone who is universally hated by all. I mean, I'm sure there were people in the crowd who thought, there's no way that this person who rips people off, who cheats them financially, should even be in the presence of Jesus. And I'm sure Zacchaeus had those really horrible, self-doubting and self-hurtful thoughts. I'm sure many of us know what that feels like. But Jesus does what he does best. He just accepts Zacchaeus exactly for where he is and for exactly for who he is. Jesus just accepts him. Now, it brings Heather and I such joy when we see Freya being so friendly and accepting to people in public. It was so funny the other day. We'd left church and Heather said to her, "Who would you like to hold hands with, mummy or daddy?" And she just looked at this lady who we didn't even know who she was and took her hand and walked down the street with her. How accepting is that? Oh, it wasn't. Yeah. But we didn't know who she was. And she was accepting. Well, I didn't know who she was. Even in Aldi, Frail went up to this lady and just shouted, "Hello!" And this lady was like, "Hey!" And she freshly said, "Hello" back. I think we can learn a lot from children about how they are with each other. They're not bothered by appearance. They're not bothered their social class. They're not bothered about who or what they do. They just accept one another. And that's what I love about Jesus. In that first step, he accepts anyone and everyone. No questions asked. He just simply accepts without judgment or agenda. I pray that each of us do find that place as well. The second thing that shows Jesus' acceptance with Zacchaeus was his physical appearance. As you can see, probably not an issue for me. But the Bible indicates that Zacchaeus is of a small stature, something that would have made him stand out from the crowd in a negative way, no doubt. Jesus, however, doesn't even acknowledge Zacchaeus' size at all, just himself. You know, he's not the only guy in the Bible who probably thought they were too small to do anything great. There was a guy named David from the Old Testament, and when the prophet Samuel selected the new king of Israel, God had rejected each of his bigger, braver siblings and chose David. The verse says, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, but the Lord looks." But man looks on your outward appearance, sorry. But the Lord looks on the heart. Jesus saw Zacchaeus' heart, not his appearance. I love Jesus here because he saw Zacchaeus for what he can do, not for what he has done. Isn't it wonderful that God is more concerned about our heart than any appearance we may bear or suffer? A good friend rang me up recently and I was asking him a big question because I wanted to seek his approval on a decision I was trying to make. But he quickly just reminded me to be confident in who God had made me to be, that I'd already been accepted. We don't need anyone else's approval. Are we in need of rekindling God's acceptance on our lives? Is our appearance troubling us, stopping us from being effective for God? Well, God knows what truly sets us free, and that is Jesus Christ. God will help us move towards wholeness. And I love how Jesus Christ once again is more concerned about our hearts, our potential, not if we are tall or strong enough. Jesus is concerned about the stuff that lasts, and so should we. Are we accepting to others, or are we quick to judge and to point fingers? We live in a world where it just seems that hostility is security, and rejection that leads to segregation is safety. No, Jesus is teaching us to be different, teaching us to be better. If we want to see people we love and those we encounter come to Christ, we need to first accept them, to tell them it's okay, to see beyond their sins and their circumstances and see the potential, to see the God-placed eternity in their heart and guide them to Christ. Now, the passage then explains that Jesus tells Zacchaeus that he's coming to his house for tea. Now, if he came to my house for tea, it would be panic stations. And I would probably be telling Jesus, watch out for all the babies and all the baby toys that are scattered across the floor. And I don't know what it would be like at your house, but I wouldn't mind if Jesus came to my house, if I was honest. But it's something that Jesus did a lot in his ministry, spending time with sinners. What better way to do it than to sit down round the table eating food? And I love this about Jesus. He had the time in his busy ministry to just spend time with people, to have conversation and food. And this was a big deal at the time. Because if you went round to someone's house, you were giving them your time. You were giving them a part of your life. Now, the food table is a special place. It's a place where relationship can grow, communication can be had, a place where relationships can grow, a place where it can be easy but long-lasting. Jesus knew the importance of this. I've lost count of the amount of times that me and Heather have been spiritually guided and grown through just spending time at the food table with people. We all come from different places, have diverse lives, but at the food table, we're all the same. It doesn't differentiate between rich or poor, happy or sad. Are our food tables open to the lost? For those to come and seek change? Are we accepting to let those that we might despise or hate come and have food with us? Are we prepared to be Jesus-like? To seek before waiting to be asked? Share our lives and good news with those that don't know him around the dinner table? I want to challenge you this very moment to let the Lord just place someone on your heart. Or if you already have, invite them to dinner. I know life can be busy, but it doesn't have to be big and brass. Just have some food and relationship together. Now, we don't know what is said around that table between Jesus and Zacchaeus. However, I'm sure there would have been words of good news and repentance. And this is indicated by the fact that the verse tells us that Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus gladly. And I believe he receives Jesus gladly because Jesus brings forgiveness. A forgiveness that I feel Zacchaeus is crying out for. It's what he needs. It's why he pushed through that crowd. It's why he got up in that tree to see Jesus' face. I have no doubt that we know someone who needs that forgiveness. Is there someone waiting for us to facilitate Jesus' forgiveness in their life? Now, there's a video on YouTube online that I watched recently. It's about a guy named Gary Ridgway. And this guy, Gary, had murdered 48 women in America. And if you don't know, in America, they're allowed to video record the court setting. And Gary had pleaded guilty to every murder. But during that trial, the families were allowed to come and say something. And everyone that came up said really horrible and nasty things. They ridiculed him and they mocked him. Maybe rightly so. But one man who was a devastated father, he got up and he said these words to Gary. "You have made it difficult to live up to what I believe. And it is what God says to do. And that is to forgive. Mr. Ridgway, you are forgiven." The father acted very differently. He did exactly what Jesus tells us and shows us to do. He facilitated that forgiveness in a massive way. At the end of the video, you just see Gary Ridgway proceed to just break down in tears. Now, that's a very special case. But there are many people like Zacchaeus who need forgiveness. Zacchaeus, I believe, had become aware of his downfalls and has made this miraculous decision to turn away from them. As Joe said this morning, a change of heart. The repentance that Zacchaeus has felt will cost him money, but it's okay because what Zacchaeus receives from Jesus is so much more worthy. Are we prepared to forgive people? We don't know the impact this could have on someone's life. There is such joy in receiving forgiveness in Christ. I mean, in terms of Zacchaeus, there was a massive change in a small man. And this is evident by Zacchaeus' words. "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." I had to read that again because there's one word there that stands out. If. And that makes me laugh because I could imagine Jesus standing there with a big smile when he says if. Because he knows, Zacchaeus, you know you've cheated people. But he still says if. I quite like that. That makes me laugh. But what a response from someone who is supposed to be a cheat and a fraud. And that's what I love about Jesus. He isn't concerned about what Zacchaeus has done. He only gives him what he needs in the opportunity for repentance and forgiveness. To make a big change. Something I believe we all need to do on a daily basis. We all face personal challenges of a spiritual nature like Zacchaeus. And it is easy for us to be sucked into the norms of what is acceptable behavior in the culture we find ourselves in. But as we have been encouraged in the morning services on Daniel, we are called to be different, to make a stand, to set a good example, not to be conformed, but to be transformed. This can be in a big or small way. You know, personally, I'm experiencing a spiritual battle of my own at work where I can make a choice to stand out and be different or just go along with the flow. I know what I should do, but I don't always do it. And there is something which I personally need to ask for repentance for. Is there something that you're struggling with tonight? Something which is just sitting uneasy with you or is challenging your relationship with Jesus? Now, the last thing that I love about Jesus is when he sums it up in the story with these powerful words, his mission statement, so to speak. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Let me say that again. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Zacchaeus' life transformation started with a simple encounter with Jesus Christ. We are called to the same encounters for the lost. We need to be real disciples of Christ by pursuing him above all. We need to be that shining light by sharing the good news. Are we prepared to be more accepting of people, whether they are refugee or rich, whether they are disabled or abled, whether they mistreat people or not? We need to be accepting of everyone, just as Jesus done. Are we prepared to open our food tables, where we have seen in Zacchaeus that relationship and friendship can grow, where we and the people we invite have the opportunity to open up to repentance and to receive Jesus' salvation and forgiveness? Would we invite our nasty neighbours in or greet the homeless in? I believe that Zacchaeus could not ignore the longing in his soul that drove him up the tree and to subsequently be in Christ's presence. Do we need to get up a tree and decide to long for Christ's presence? to go deeper with Christ, to pass on God's salvation and forgiveness to the lost. Christina, do you want to, and the band, do you want to just join me?
Thank you so much, Mike. That was brilliant. I love the image of getting up a tree. I don't know if anyone else knows someone who likes to climb trees, but I do. Daniel, my husband, if he sees a tree he thinks he can climb, he will. So if you happen to be out at the park or anything, do expect that he might do that. I'm not joking. And when he's tried to climb numerous trees, he often comes down with big scrapes on his arms. So sometimes, like you said, it's not easy to climb trees, but I love that analogy to think that we would go to that effort and to that risk to see God. Mike, that was just brilliant, and there are so many fantastic challenges in that word that you've just brought to us. So I want to I want us to have a time of response now. So if you are able, I'd like to invite you to stand. As Mike was speaking, I was just writing down some of the challenges that he was asking us to do. And I'm going to read them out, and then we're going to just take a moment to listen to the God voice. Is anyone here wanting to make a powerful change? Is anyone wanting to go deeper on their walk with Christ? Does anyone here need to forgive someone? Is something not sitting well with you? Is a name coming to mind to that person who you need to open up your food table? If those things resonate with you, stand with me in this moment and let's just listen to the God voice, that we may see the face behind the voice. Know that in this place, whatever the question is that's burning on your heart, Jesus accepts you exactly where you're at. And that God is more concerned about your heart than anything else. Let's just take a moment, just wait on the Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask now that you would come as we've stood and we stand. Sometimes we need to make a physical gesture to you, Lord. But yeah, would you come, whether we know you or we don't, in this moment, let us know your presence in this place and your purpose for our lives. Thank you that it is our heart that you are concerned about, and that you love us so dearly. Holy Spirit, would you come? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As the band begin to play, don't let that go. If God is putting something on your heart, a question, bring that before him now.
Your grace is enough, more than I need. At your word I will be. Your Spirit make me new, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you here. Your presence in me, Jesus, light the way. By the power of your word, I am restored, I am redeemed. By your spirit, I am free, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet. This is our God, yeah. Lifted on high from death to life. Forever our God is glorified. Servants and King, rescue the world. This is our God. And I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet. And I will worship you here.
I'll fall at your feet.
And I will fall at your feet. I will you here. Freely you gave it all for us. Surrender your life upon that cross. Great is the love poured out for all. This is our God, Jesus, lifted on high. I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, I see a new revival stirring as we pray and seek. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity, heal my heart. Come heal my heart and make it clean. Come open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity.
For being with us this evening, it's been a pleasure. As I said earlier, we have teas and coffees out in this direction, so please do stick around, have a cup of tea. If you're new here, come and introduce yourself, and if you need to talk to any of the leaders, Daniel's here, Jonathan and Scott. So thank you very much and have a good evening.